Well, that's a brilliantly acrobatic save. Xhaka's corner, Giroud!
Wow, they're starting with an attacking play on the second half. Just as the ball kicks off, DJ Sticks running with the ball. DJ Sticks passes DJ Stones. Wow, DJ Stones run past Lionel Messi. Runs past Cristiano Ronaldo. Passes to Fernandinho. Fernandinho passes back to DJ Stones. DJ Stones takes a shot and he misses. But DJ Sticks is there for the rebound and he hits it in. And wow! That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is classic play. And this is the VAR show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to
another exciting
woo installment of the VAR show. Yeah, you are listening the VAR show right here on Active FM, where radio
has never been better.
Yeah, you are listening to the host you can trust. The name you can trust.
Oh.
You put it in water, guess what?
What?
It will not rust.
Mm.
The one, the only, DJ Stones.
With your man on fleek.
Woo!
Always slick.
Uh-huh.
Always ticks.
Uh-huh.
Always clicks.
Uh-huh.
DJ Sticks.
Always on. Okay, there we go. I just needed to make sure he was, you know, close to my level. Not on my level. I'm still, like, what, 8 points ahead on the log, you know? DJ Stones, everybody else.
You know where?
Don't you dare. So, today we have an exciting, exciting show. I know where he's going, guys. I know where he's going. You know, hold it, you know, hold it in. You know, squeeze. Yes, hold it. We'll get to there. Okay. Where was I now? Yes, I was telling them that I know what you're wanting to say.
You're
going to keep it for another part of the show.
Okay.
Next week.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or the week after that. Maybe Christmas. Maybe New Year's. Who knows when you're going to talk about what you want to talk about, you know? But, you know, we have a lot of exciting content to give you guys. There's a lot that happened yesterday, you know, especially with Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi. Especially there. Lots has happened. But before we go into that, before we dive into the greatness that is football, enjoy this.
So, hey guys, this is Sean from Hillsong, Pretoria. You're listening to Active FM, and the Christ music is hot music. See you later, man.
and that's how it goes.
You're listening to Active FM. FM.
Yeah. I hope you guys enjoy that tune. You know, we have a lot to go through in this segment. We have a lot we want to talk about. You know, yesterday was UEFA Champions League. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot happened there. A lot has happened there. Two big events that took place. Obviously, number one was the whole PSG and Istanbul Başakşehir event. Mm. The second one being the two goats met head to head.
Yeah.
You know, it was very, very, very intense, man. It was something we've wanted to see for some time, you know, since the two departed, you know. But yesterday we got to see it. We got to see it in full force, you know. Yeah. We got to see every single point of it, you know. And to be honest, I was disappointed.
Were you?
I was disappointed.
In what?
Ronaldo gave what he needed to bring in, you know?
Yeah.
Ronaldo brought himself to the table. Never brought all of himself,
mm-hmm.
but he brought himself to the table.
By scoring two penalties.
No, you see, the thing is, you know, people criticize penalties.
They do.
But you know that you have to be putting a team's defense under so much pressure.
Yeah.
For them. Because you look at the first penalty, that player had no intention of going for the ball. He was beaten. He was finished.
But where was he going? That's the question.
He was finished. No, touchline. You can go through. Ronaldo has gone through the touchline before. It's not like he's going to run out.
Yeah.
They touchline, cross in, or chop. As he gets to the touchline, he runs towards the keeper, does a chop. He's on the other side, right foot in.
Not in.
You know, he's done these things before.
He has done them.
But then your defender was overwhelmed, you know?
Yeah.
Was very, very overwhelmed. And then, you know, they dropped my man. Dropped him.
Mm.
You know, and the thing is, even that whole first half,
yeah,
it felt like Barcelona was asleep. But you want to know something scary?
What?
They weren't asleep.
They weren't.
They are playing. They're playing hard.
Yeah.
And Juventus still got the best out of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was a bit disappointed because I expected to see more of Messi.
Yeah.
You know, I expected to see more of, you know, when he hasn't been in a game like that for a while, you know.
Mm.
And I expected to see more from him. And I understand. I really hope what was happening, you know, in Barcelona wasn't happening the same time they would meet again.
Yeah.
That's why I really hope both of them move to, you know, the Manchesters respectively. Because now when they meet each other, it's not just a you know, match, whether we win or lose, it doesn't matter. Because that's what that match was yesterday.
Yeah.
Whether it was
about
both
on top. Yeah.
Yeah, it was about who's finishing on top.
Mm.
And the thing is now, if one goes to Man City, the other one goes to Man United, and they're versing each other, that's a Manchester derby. That's like the El Clasico.
It doesn't matter what's happening.
It can be the Carabao Cup.
And
they'll still play their hearts out just because it's a derby.
Yeah, there's the blood.
You know,
bad blood.
And that's what I want to see. And I guess that game, I feel like it was a good game, just overhyped.
Yeah.
But with that in mind, yesterday, Juventus was the first Italian side ever to score 3+ away goals against Barcelona in a UEFA competition.
Can I say something about that match? Listen, Juventus was just a better team, man.
Yeah.
The Juventus that I saw yesterday was proper. And Barca was, like you said, they were playing. You know, I just don't know what's wrong. They're missing something. They're missing players.
Yep.
They're missing players.
Not just missing players. It's the same issue United had. There's no structure in the beginning. Well, with United, we fixed up a bit later. But Barca, there's no structure,
there's
if
no
I can
proper
say.
Proper structure.
Yeah. The players look clueless. Like, the way the, like, Cuadrado's goal.
Mm.
That shouldn't have been in, you know?
Yeah.
The players, Barcelona's players were not attacking. I think they're doing the zonal marking thing. But now the problem is when you play a team like Juventus, you can't just do zonal marking. You have to apply pressure.
Yeah, you have
so with people who don't know what zonal marking is, it's basically covering the spots, you know, covering the, so you don't go for the
spaces,
men.
Yeah.
You just, you close the space, you close specific zones. Yeah. Very good for offside traps and stuff. But you're playing against teams that are very fast. So they can wait on the onside position.
Yeah.
And then just as you're about to pass, they make that run. You know, you look at Cuadrado's goal. He passes unmarked, what goes into the box. I mean, what's his name? I forgot this American player's name now. McKinney. Yes. He passes Cuadrado. He goes into the box unmarked.
Free.
And the reason why it's unmarked is because they zonal marking. So they're just blocking off passing space. Right? They then just lob it over everyone.
Boom.
And not only does he just, you know, shoot it in or header it in, he does a freaking bicycle kick.
And he smashes it.
You know, a sideways scissor bicycle looking kick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A perpetuo.
Perpetuo, yeah.
And he made them look like they were stupid.
Well, that goal was embarrassing.
You know, it was very, very embarrassing. And not because, look, for him, it was an awesome goal for Juventus. That's probably going to be a highlight for him.
Mm-hmm, it is.
But it's embarrassing for Barcelona because it was easily prevented.
Mm.
You know, maybe he was still going to score. I'm not saying that he was not going to score. He probably could have headed. Probably could have just done a normal volley.
Yeah,
but the fact that they gave him enough space
to do that
is the problem. Because that's not like a normal bicycle kick where even if they're holding you back, all you're doing is, you know, falling back and then hitting it in. No. There he has to place his body position right.
Mm.
Look at the ball, jump, hit it still.
Time it.
You know, then they gave him that much space. That's the problem. That's what the problems are here.
Mm.
You know, the positives you can get for Ronald Koeman's team is that, you know, Samuel Umtiti made his appearance back from a long time. You know, it was very, very cool.
Yeah.
Jared Piqué was missing, so I guess that's why the defenders never looked as disciplined as they did. You know, tactically wise, Lionel Messi, yeah, he was their only hope, you know. He was their only hope.
And that's the problem.
And it was really bad. It was really, really bad. You know, looking at what Koeman went for to play the 4-2-3, again, you know, he's playing an attacking type formation and then he decides to play a holding type of defense, you know? Like a good example for people who still want to get what zonal marking looks like. Liverpool versus Barcelona.
The second one. Mm.
Where they only really did gegenpress, so pressing in the other team's half. As soon as they got over to close to their box, what they did was that they'll drop the defense would do zonal marking, which means that the defenders wouldn't go and mark the person.
Yeah.
They would drop down and then protect the box and make sure that there is no passing space. But now what they did, right, against Barcelona to then cover up for the amount of space and time they're giving Barcelona was they dropped their midfielders down as well.
Oh.
And then they allowed the midfielders to defend until a specific point. And that's when the defenders could not, because now they're very close to the box. Now defenders have to start coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the problem is when you play zonal marking completely, like how Barcelona played it yesterday, is that certain passes start making specific holes in your team. And that's why just playing this holding game and not playing it well can really hurt a team.
Mm.
It can really, really mess up a team. But, you know, looking at other big achievements that happened yesterday, like we said, it was a big, big, big night. Borussia Dortmund's Josef Mukunku became the youngest player ever to appear in the UEFA Champions League. He was aged 16 years, 18 and 18 days. You know,
wow.
He beat the previous person. I can't say this person's name. It's Castellina Bayoro, who beat him by 67 days. So he was 67 days younger than Mukunku.
Mm.
Barcelona had conceded 2 goals in 20 minutes for the first time in UEFA Champions League at a home game ever.
What?
Lazio has reached the UEFA Champions League knockout stage for the second time ever between 1999 and 2000.
Oh, that's good.
That's very, very good.
That is
now
good.
Now for a bit of sad news, right? Manchester United have conceded 3+ goals in consecutive Champions League games for the first time since April 2003. And that was against Real Madrid.
That is sad.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about that, you know. And then this one, you know, this I guess I don't know what it's called, this record that was being broken. Right? It was really nice for me to hear, you know.
Or was it?
Because you know, Manchester United doesn't exist when you hear this.
Okay.
Chelsea has won 10 penalties in all competitions this season, more than any other Premier League side, scoring 8 of them. So they scored also 8 out of the 10, on level with Leicester City.
Ah, nice. So Manchester.
It's Pensy. Ah. Sort of Chelsea, you know.
Pen Chelsea.
Get it?
Pensy.
I get it.
Yes.
I get it.
Yeah, and you know, looking back at UEFA Champions League and what happened yesterday, you know, look at the United game. I did say we're going to speak about it later. You know, I don't know what was the problem there. I feel like we just got into that game and I feel like, I don't know if rushing is the right word, but we never had our heads on, you know. We just wanted to do our own thing. I feel like that's when I watched that game in the beginning, especially the beginning half, you know. I felt like there was a structure given. Because I'm not going to blame it on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Mm-mm.
The only thing I will, you know, the only place where I will question him is for not starting Van de Beek.
Again.
I don't know what this player needs to do to prove himself now. You know? He brings a type of energy that the team... In fact, second half when they brought him in, the whole pace of the game changed.
It did.
And now you look at... And it's this, he's being consistent. You know, he's not consistently scoring or assisting,
yeah.
But he's consistently moving the ball. He's consistently being the type of player he's in throughout all games. You know the performance you're going to get out of him when you play him.
The form.
You know? I understand the skepticism coming from Paul Pogba with all that's happening around right now, with his agent coming out and saying that, no, next season Pogba needs to leave. He's not happy. And that happens every season, you know? But... Not to, you know, downplay Matic or anything.
Yeah.
But in this type of a game, you don't want to start Matic in. You want to start your Pogba, you want to start your Brunos. You know, if you're scared to play Bruno, you rather put a Mata. Reason being is that you want to attack.
Yeah.
You don't want to try. You're not. I felt like the players had in their mind, all we need is a draw.
Or they settled.
They settled.
Really,
I think,
settled
even again, this is just my opinion. I could be wrong. I think the mistake Ole Gunnar Solskjaer did was also him. In his mind, he probably had, all we need is a draw.
Yeah.
Even if it's 0-0 or 1-1, it's fine.
Mm.
And now, when you play a non-attacking play with Man United, we struggle because we don't have the defense capability.
Yeah.
You know, I looked at what was happening in defense. It was horrendous.
Oh.
Those two goals they scored us shouldn't have happened.
Mm.
The third goal they even scored us was a stupid mistake. I don't know if there was a communication error between De Gea and Maguire. I don't know if De Gea told Maguire to leave, but he could have shot the ball out. He should have cleared the ball. That should be his first instinct.
Clear the ball.
I don't know why he left it. There is literally no... At least if he tried to slide in and he just never made it out of and understood. But he literally slows down and then leaves the ball. And the player comes in from the back and scores it in. There's no communication from Lindelof to tell him there's a man behind you.
Nothing.
You know, when I was growing up playing soccer, as a guy gets closer to you, your teammates are shouting, man B, which means man behind you.
Yeah.
So that you are aware that, you know what, I can't let this ball go loose. There's somebody behind me.
Mm.
You know? And that was the problem. In my mind, I think they settled to try to get a draw.
Yeah.
Because if they played an attacking football, you know, or they played a counter football the same way they played against them the first time round.
Yeah.
You know, if they set up the squad the same way they set up the squad against PSG the first time round, you know, with Martial. I think Martial's probably still injured, that's why. But you put Greenwood where you had Martial, right? You put Rashford... On the same place you put him the last time, you have Telles, you have Shaw, you have Wembasaki, you know, you have Van de Beek, and then you have Bruno. you sorted. You have a game. You have a proper game at hand.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I fully agree because I saw what happened in the second half when you guys were really pushing for the goals.
Yeah.
And they came.
They came.
Yeah. Excluding that free kick.
Oh my word. That free kick was freaking divine.
It would have been 3-3.
The post.
I promise you.
The crossbar, I mean. Flip.
Yeah. It would have been 3-3.
We scored our goal too late.
The Pogba goal.
Yeah. We were three down. You know, and if that free kick had gone in, I tell you now, United would have won that game. You know, we scored that goal. We scored our goal late. We scored our second goal in about, I think, the 70th or 80th minute. Leipzig realized, you know what?
Hey.
Lock this thing.
Bam.
Lock.
Puck.
They pucked it. They tried to, in any time that they could waste, they took it.
Mm.
You know?
They made sure.
They would play rough just to slow down play. And as much as I don't like that type of football, they didn't want to settle. That's the thing. They knew that they couldn't afford. They needed a win.
They were going for the win.
They were going for
from
the win.
From the get-go.
And they were willing to do anything to ensure that they get that win. And that's the attitude United should have had. And I'm not saying play dirty.
Yeah.
I'm saying just the mindset to say, I want that win.
Mm.
And nothing must stop me to get that win.
Yeah.
You know?
Because if you go for the win, worst case scenario is...
A draw.
That's if you've done bad.
And that would have been years. Because I've seen... You look at United against Southampton.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When they wanted it, they got it.
When he wanted it,
you know, you look at previous games. You know, when we want it, we go and get it.
Mm.
Even against the game against City this coming weekend, you know, if we really want to, now hear me out. And I'm not saying this as a United supporter. You know,
yeah.
If someone like Cavani gets healed, Martial gets healed.
Was he injured?
Yeah.
No.
And if we have our players back, Telles is finally back in. Brandon Williams is healed. Luke Shaw is healed, which means that they can push Telles a bit forward.
Forward, yeah.
You know, if we play our cards right, we can beat Man City.
Mm. Where are they playing?
At, I think, the Etihad. No, they're playing at Old Trafford.
Old Trafford?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I don't think it will matter because I don't think both sides can have
fans.
So it's like playing in neutral ground.
Come on, Manchester.
So it's going to be a very interesting to watch. I'm looking forward to that match because both sides don't have their heads on in the game.
Mm.
You know, yeah, so it's at Old Trafford. And this is a game that we're needing to win. So I don't know. Is he going to then do what he did against RB Leipzig? And, you know, try to settle and play a defensive team? Or is he going to actually go for the victory? He has the side to go for the victory.
Yeah.
He has the tactics. We've seen it.
Mm.
We've seen it before.
Yeah. You guys can't defend.
We don't have the facilities to defend.
Your strong point is attacking.
Yeah, we can counter.
That's your strong point.
The thing is, we can counter, so we can hold.
Mm.
But we can't do an all-out defense. We can't play defensive football. We don't have the team, the players for that. We need to play counter or attacking.
You have Lindelof.
We have Lindelof. Now, look, I heard somewhere and I fully agreed with this statement. The problem is not Lindelof.
Mm.
The problem is not Harry Maguire. The problem is both of them together. Because we've seen Maguire play with Bay.
Yeah.
He played well. We've seen Lindelof play without Maguire. He's played okay. But when they're together, it's like there's just... it's hard to explain.
You should have done this.
Yeah. Like there's no communication.
At all.
But I'm really, really looking forward to it. You know, I'm really, really looking forward to the United versus City game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, really looking forward to United in Europa League.
Mm.
Hopefully we still get, you know, hopefully we still get...
We still have hope.
Yeah, we could still get...
Istanbul!
You know, we get Cristiano Ronaldo.
He
wins his first ever Europa. You know, he has an achievement that Messi's never had before. Winning the Europa.
You guys, you always compare Cristiano with the trophies that you know Messi can't win.
Yeah, like...
Messi can't win the Euro.
Like, no.
Messi can't win Europa.
Like an international trophy.
He can't win the Euro.
No, any international trophy.
He's going to win.
Which one?
2022.
He's going to win the Euros.
2022.
The closest international Qatar. Trophy he's touched is probably the UEFA Champions League because of the amount of, you know, players that are
Messi has areas. He has an Olympic gold medal and an under-19 World Cup.
One thing that Ronaldo doesn't have. A gold medal. You're flipping hard. You're right.
Olympic gold medal.
Neymar
so cried when he won.
Neymar cries when you push him on the floor.
Neymar won the 2016 gold medal and he cried when he won.
Neymar cries because when you push him on the
that
floor.
That is so precious. It's such a precious trophy.
Neymar cries when you slide tackle the ball.
No.
Like, you don't even get his feet. Just slide tackle the ball. Like, you slide the ball and then he's there crying. I don't get your point. You know? But yes, you know, the two goats clashed heads, hopefully for what's not the last time.
No.
Being realistic, is probably for the last time.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it probably is.
It's probably for the last time.
Oh, wait. They'll meet in the final of the UEFA.
No. Barcelona, round of 16. You must hope you get it.
Bayern, Thomas Müller and Lewandowski will get injured. They'll be injured. So Bayern will go out. And then PSG, Neymar will also get injured.
You know what you guys must hope for?
PSG will go out.
Hope for Sevilla. Someone you're used to. Because even if you draw a Chelsea's going to beat you.
We beat the big teams. You know that. First leg, we beat them. And then second leg, they beat us.
Yeah, but they beat you enough.
So must make sure second leg.
You know, Bayern Munich technically broke the curse for y'all, eh? They beat you one time.
Yeah, there was no second leg.
There's no second leg. Yeah. But they beat you enough time for both legs. Did you see?
Yeah, wait, they're 4-1, 4-1.
Yeah, it would be like 4-1, 4-1. You know, it was very, very serious things there.
Thank you, Bayern Munich, for breaking the curse.
Yes.
Now we can win.
Yes. Now okay, so win. That was some interesting stuff. But I want you guys to listen to this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will return.
So this is the issue. This is what's happening right now. For many of us right now, for the majority of us, we have attended the most church services we've ever attended. We've worshipped longer than we've ever worshipped before. We've prayed more than we've ever prayed before. We've listened to a bunch of things more than ever before. But the test isn't coming yet. The test is going to be after the quarantine.
I keep a psalm, chapter 22. It's the daily bread you think you eating. We got plenty food. You gain the whole world just to lose your soul. Gain the whole world just to lose your soul. But for me, I don't need your respect. I praise God with the breath, and I sit proud with my chest. The truth is objective, regardless of your perspective. Prophecy's been happening, soon it'll get hectic. These are the birth pains of the end. If you notice, they call it evil.
Stay with you as long as you stay with him. But if you love him, getting the victories because God is aware that he's going to lose you. God is consistently coming to people after their victory. Ask yourself when you evaluate yourself, how are you in moments of rest? Does the fire of God leave your eyes? Or do you continue to push and pursue him even more?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, are you ready?
Can stream Reactive's very own The Movement album on Spotify and Apple iTunes. Reactive, it's a movement.
So just before we go to what we need to, you know, to speak about, I just wanted to bring out an interesting fact. So in 2020, right, this is just the Ronaldo and Messi fact. International stats, right? So in 2020, Ronaldo has had 6 caps internationally.
6 caps.
Right? Messi's had 4 caps.
4 caps.
Ronaldo has assisted once. Messi has assisted 0.
Yeah.
Ronaldo has scored 3 times. Messi has scored once.
Has he?
Yeah. And then looking at all time, Cristiano Ronaldo has 170 caps. Right? Mm. Messi has 142.
142.
Messi has 71 goals. 71. Ronaldo has, guess how much?
How much?
102.
Does he?
102.
Oh, that's because he's 30 games ahead.
102 is still a lot. No, not a lot of players at 102.
71 is a lot.
Nah,
it's Argentina.
There are players who have more.
It is Argentina's all-time record.
He's Portugal. You see, Portugal has bigger standards.
No, they have more games.
Eh?
They have more games. Ronaldo has more games. Way more games.
Yeah, that's the excuse you always
2022,
use.
2022, relax.
That's the excuse you always use. Okay, now as we close up, you know, there was a incident that happened yesterday, if you're watching the PSG game, whereby in the 13th minute, Demba Ba went shouting at an assistant referee, telling him, you can't use the word, which meaning was the N-word. I'm not going to say it, you know?
Yeah.
And... you know, I was listening to something and this person says, you know what's the recipe of disaster?
What?
Istanbul, which is a Turkey side. Paris Saint-Germain, which is a French side.
Mm.
You know? And then Romanian referees. And it's not because of the countries they're from. It's because of the language barrier that is there.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge. And the reason being is that, you know, the guy was saying, no, that's a term in my language. It's not, this doesn't mean the exact same thing,
yeah.
You know? But he's like, no, you can't use that word. You can't use that word. And he's like, no, but that's, I'm not, my word is not meaning the same thing as you, you know? And I think the guy was just trying to spot out, you know, because I think the term was give a yellow card to that N-word.
Oh.
Right? And I don't know the full context yet. You know, not a lot. There's still an investigation that's going to take place.
Yeah.
But just from hearing what happened around there, Demba Ba was not happy with that.
Mm.
And a whole huge fight broke out. You know, not a physical fight. Because Demba Ba got a red card for, you know, ooh, yelling at the assistant referee. Because to be fair to the referee, he just sees, he's the match. Demba Ba rushing down, shouting at his assistant referee. He knows the rules.
So he's like, yo,
you can't do that. Mm. Get out, you know?
Yeah.
Can't be here. And then Demba Ba's like, no, I'm not going to leave. This guy's racist.
Mm.
This guy's like, no, I'm not racist. And then a whole huge fight starts breaking out, you know, where coaches get involved and they're shouting. And look, I'm going to look at it from both sides here, right? I'm going to try my best to look at it from both sides, you know?
Yeah.
Listener over here, I hope you don't take me wrong for what I'm about to do, right? What I liked was that, you know, PSG also walked off, you know, together in solidarity against what has happened. They all, you know, walked off together.
The squad.
Yes. You know, PSG, Istanbul supporting that is good. Mm. And if the guy was right, if the guy was speaking the truth, and it is just a language barrier thing, you know?
Yeah.
We can't, you know, persecute him a lot about this.
We can't penalize him.
The people who we actually need to speak to now is the federations, the different federations, you know? They need to now sit people down and say, look, these are specific words you can't say. I understand this is what it means in your language. You can't say it.
You have to be careful.
You know, like, if I'm a Zulu guy and I'm going to play in Europe,
yeah,
I can't say the word leave in Zulu. You know, I can't even say it here because it's going to sound wrong.
Mm.
You know, because it sounds like the N-word, but it's not the N-word.
Yeah.
I'm actually emphasizing on the case. It's not in, it's Nika. Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I emphasize so that it doesn't sound exactly the same. But basically, it means leave. Mm. So now if I go to Europe and I'm trying to say leave the guy.
Like, yeah, you do that.
It's going to sound wrong.
Mm.
When they're selecting coaches for games, they need to now look, okay, this is what, these words you can't use, even if it means this in your language.
Yeah.
Because it will be found as derogatory.
Mm.
Because I feel like now here, the people who have to take the blame isn't the ref. It's the UEFA. UEFA has to take blame for this.
Yeah.
It's not about taking these people through sensitivity camps and whatnot. No, it's about sitting them down and telling them, okay, these words you can't use. These, because universally they have a bad meaning.
Yeah.
And that's what they have to look at.
Yeah.
That's what they have to look at. And, you know, they're going to play the game again later on tonight. And hopefully, you know, it's better off. They're going to put new referees in place. And hopefully, you know, Istanbul, it would be very funny if Istanbul wins because, you know, PSG walks out with them in solidarity and they walked straight into Europa. That would be very funny.
Yeah.
That would be very, very funny. In solidarity. In solidarity.
United.
United. We are not going to both be in UEFA. You know, can't both be in UEFA. One is out of UEFA completely. The other one doesn't even want to be in UEFA.
Yeah.
You know, UEFA's full of racists. Yeah. Go to Europa.
Mm. It's fine.
It's fine, we'll win it. We'll definitely win it.
French
unless
refuse.
Madrid also ends up there.
Unless? What do you mean unless?
Yeah, you know, tonight would be an interesting one. You know, you probably could see PSG going to Europa.
Ooh.
And Real Madrid going to Europa, you know?
We cannot wait.
Let's hear Neymar got COVID, PSG. Neymar, Di Maria, you know, got COVID. PSG could be looking out and saying nope. Moise Keane as well. Those three. Because Mbappe can't get it. He already had it. Just those three get it. Yeah, the attacking force is down.
And Mbappe is like flu or something.
Yeah, and Mbappe has flu.
Or diarrhea.
Yeah. Then Mbappe just needs to score one goal. And then he must, you know, he can do that whole kneeling thing. We'll be happy with him then.
Yes.
Yeah, after he scores.
We'll support him. Yes.
Okay, but that is it for the wonderful, wonderful
VAR
show. With your host who does the most, even when he's making toast, the name you can trust, put it in water, guess what?
What?
It will not rust. And with me?
The man on fleek.
Uh-huh.
Always slick.
Uh-huh.
Always clicks.
Uh-huh.
Always ticks.
And always looks?
Slick.
DJ?
Sticks.
Yeah, you're watching the VAR show right here on Active FM, where radio has never been better. And if you want to catch us on, you know, you guys can catch us on many, many platforms, you know. You guys can catch us on literally everywhere. We are on www.activefm.co.za if you want to find our awesome website.
Yeah.
You guys can find us on Instagram at ActiveFM. You guys can find us on Facebook /ActiveFM. You guys can find us on Twitter at ActiveFM and many, many more platforms.
Yeah.
But from me, DJ Stones.
And DJ Sticks.
This is DJ Sticks and Stones. We will not break your bones because we delivered an awesome show.
Sitting in this war zone, taking in this pain. My whole belly holds on, I can't really stand. I can hear you walk past now. My heart starts to jump, my fears begin to fade. My faith explodes right now.